Why do churches meet on Sunday? Well, I think you know the answer. That's because that's the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. So really, every Sunday is Easter Sunday in a sense. It's Resurrection Day. And so church meets. I want us to turn to a passage this morning that gives a little bit of extra information about what took place when Christ came back from the dead. So let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke chapter 24. I'd like for us to take a look at what happened on this particular day when Christ was raised from the dead. Luke chapter 24. I divided my message into an outline of four questions. Question number one, what did they see? Okay, let's take a look. Luke 24, the first thing they saw, verses 1 through 3, the stone was rolled away and the body was gone. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. But then it says, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. Notice they're confused. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. They were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And then it says, if you drop down to verse 12, so they saw the stone was rolled away, the body was gone, but there was something in the tomb still. Verse 12. Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. That is, he left after what he saw. He wondered what happened. Jesus' body is gone, but the grave clothes were still there. And so he's confused by it. The remarkable fact is that the same account that tells us the body was gone emphasizes the fact that the grave clothes were not gone. So it wasn't just the absence of the body, but the presence of the grave clothes in an undisturbed position. They weren't torn up like somebody had stolen the body and torn the grave clothes apart. There they laid, and they're confused by what they see. The Gospel of John, we're going to come back to Luke 24 in just a second. The Gospel of John gives us a little bit of insight as to why God tells us this. Turn to John 19. Gospel of John 19. Let's look at several verses, verses 38 through 40. John 19. Now, we're given some information here because it's significant. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, remember him from John 3? Wanted to know how to get to heaven? Who at the first came to Jesus by night also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus, bound it with strips of linen with the spices. And this is, next part's important too. As the custom of the Jews is to bury. We are given these details for a reason. The grave clothes were not all torn up. They also were left behind. And they looked kind of like a shell. Notice that Scripture says, Jesus was buried as the custom of the Jews is to bury people. You say, well, what does that mean? They would wrap the body limb by limb. The head was wrapped separately. They would the wrappings were inlaid with a gummy, resinous, spicy material for two reasons. Because it would give a good fragrance, makes sense. But also, the sticky resin helped the cloth strips to all stick together. Charles Swindoll says this, the burial wrappings made rigid by the resin from the spices formed a shell, a type of cocoon that now lay empty on the cold rock slab in the tomb. Warren Wiersbe says, I quote, the grave clothes were empty. They lay there like an empty cocoon, still retaining the body shape of Jesus. The only way to be left like that is if Jesus went right through them in his resurrection body and he left the grave clothes behind. This also proves to us or shows us the clothes were neat and orderly. Nobody stole his body. Now that's what they're going to tell everybody. But God did something that proves that it wasn't stolen. Because if thieves took the body, they would have left the wrappings in disarray. Or they would have had to take the wrappings with the body. So when they looked into the tomb, the body's gone, but the wrappings are there. Wow. Turn back to Luke 24. In Luke 24, I have a second question for you. In Luke 24, we've already considered what did they see. Now look at what did they hear? We pick it up at verse 5. The scripture says, then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember? Anybody ever say to you, well, do you remember? How he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. Oh, verse 8, they remembered his words. Interesting. They had forgotten what Jesus had clearly taught them. But we never forget what Jesus teaches us, right? We're more spiritual. No. You get my point. Isn't it interesting how many times, somebody comes to you with a problem and struggle and all the rest. It's like, what would God want me to do? And you open your Bible, or I do, and I'll say, well, let me show you. Oh, I forgot that passage. Hello. They forgot that Jesus said, they're going to crucify me. I'll be in the ground. But on the third day, I will come back to life. It just didn't register with them. We need to be careful to listen to God's word. Whether you feel like it or not, whether I like it or not, I will be honest with you. Sometimes in my life, I've gone back to the word of God and I've said, Jesus, here's what Jesus said I'm supposed to do with this particular, I'll say, a situation or person. That's hard. And in my heart, I'm confessing my sins. Nothing wrong with a preacher confessing his sins from the pulpit, I guess. But I sometimes say to myself, that's hard to do. And then I take a second breath and say, okay, God, you gave me the Holy Spirit to give me the power to obey your word. I can do this. I just don't like it, but I need to learn to like it. Because this is what your will is. How practical is that? So first, what did they see? Nobody stole the body. The grave clothes are there, undisturbed. What did they hear? They remembered his words that they had forgotten. Number three. What did they feel? I was surprised when I studied through Luke 24, which the whole chapter, by the way, is the Sunday after the crucifixion. So the whole chapter here is about today, Easter. That's why I'm preaching from it. This is what happened on Easter. Boy, did they go through a lot of emotions. I'll show you quickly. Verse 4. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed. Sometimes we don't think of these people as being confused. Look at the second verse 5. They were afraid. Drop down to verse 15. So it was that while they conversed or talked and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But they didn't know it was Jesus. Look at verse 17. Jesus said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you're having one with another as you walk and are sad? Can you imagine Jesus coming up to you and saying, why are you so sad? That's what he said to them. Well, here's what they said. Before we look at it, I'll tell you what they're going to say. Well, things just haven't turned out like we thought they were going to. I've been there. I mean, I thought, Lord, when I prayed this thing through and I did everything, I thought, I was pretty sure this is what you were going to do. And then it doesn't happen that way. Look at it. Verse 21. We were hoping, that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We thought Jesus Christ was the Messiah and that he was going to redeem Israel. That he was going to free us from the Romans. That he was going to come with great power and give us our freedom and the joy of being Jewish and having our nation. He's dead and gone. And we're disappointed. They just don't know all the story, do they? If you're disappointed in the Lord and what he's doing, you don't know all the story. Stick with the word. He'll help you. He'll see you through. This is good stuff, practical. One more emotion, verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company arrived at the tomb early. They astonished us. They didn't find his body. They came and the tomb is empty. But they said they didn't see him. They don't know what's happened. And we're kind of astonished. We're perplexed. We're afraid. We reason. We're sad. We were hoping. We're astonished. I'd say they're going through a lot of emotions on Easter Sunday. And if you are, you're in good company. In general, they were saying, all that we've done with and for Christ has been wasted. That is never true. Nothing we do for Jesus Christ is wasted. So if you're there, keep serving. Keep loving him. Keep obeying him. You're not wasting your time and life. Yes. So then there's a fourth question. So what does Christ do for them? What they've seen, what they've heard, all this, they're confused. So what does he do for them? And I need these too, so let me share several of them with you. Look at verse 31. We're in Luke 24. Well, I'll start at verse 30 to give you the context. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he, Jesus, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And immediately he vanished, disappeared from their sight. Wow. Do you know what he did for them? He opened their eyes so that they could see him. God will open your eyes so that you'll be able to see him in your circumstances. And I can't imagine, I was trying to put myself back in these passages. Can you imagine sitting there eating with them and all of a sudden you realize, it is Jesus. And then boom. he didn't just float, he just disappeared instantly. He opened their eyes. There's more. Look at verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? There's the second thing He opened their eyes and he opened the scriptures to them. Which means what Jesus basically said is, why are you so sad? I'm doing what the scriptures say I was going to do and what I told you I was going to do. I stay anchored to my Bible. Every Christian needs to stay anchored to the scriptures. He opened their eyes. He opened the scriptures to them. And then it says, drop down to verse 44. Luke 24, 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He's basically saying, I'm doing everything that the law of Moses, the Bible sometimes was divided into three parts in those days. I'm doing what the law says. I'm doing what the prophets say, and also what the Psalms, the poetical books. Jesus just said to them, I'm actually doing everything that the Old Testament said I was going to do. And then it says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend or understand the scriptures. Oh my goodness. He opened their eyes, he opened the scriptures, and he opened their understanding so that they could understand the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and opening the scriptures and helping us to understand what you say. I'm not just sermonizing. Put your circumstances in this passage, and you will see. He'll open your eyes, he'll open the scriptures to you, and he'll help you to understand the circumstances. Man. And we're at the end of Luke 24. Look at verse 48. He says, and you are witnesses of these things. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. You stay in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. Now it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Oh my. He's been crucified. It's now Easter, the resurrection day. And then he goes, eventually ends up out in Bethany. And he departs from them. And look what they did. He's gone now, but look what they did. They worshiped him. You know what we should be doing? Worshiping him. Look what else. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Question. Do you have joy in your heart? Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, whatever we go through, we can still have joy. And you already know this. I always have joy in my life. Couldn't resist that one. Some of you visiting are thinking, what is he talking? My wife's name is Joy, for those of you that didn't know that. So I always have joy. But anyway, they had joy. By the way, I think happiness is also biblical. There's some passages about that. But I'll tell you what I want most of all in all of my circumstances, whatever I go through. I want to have that deep-seated joy that gives me peace. They worship Christ. They experience joy. And then the scripture says, look at this, verse 53. They were continually in the temple. Oh. They kept going to the temple for services. I don't even have to beg the text. Christians go to church. They kept going to the temple, which was those days. The church hadn't started yet. A Christian is a person who goes to church. Because this is where we gather to hear God's word. We pray together as a body, and we fellowship. We get strength. So they were continued in the temple. And look what it says, praising and blessing God. And when you have they had burning hearts. I can tell whether or not I have a burning heart because I can't wait to get to church. I like to have the scriptures open to me from the Lord. And I enjoy praying and rejoicing and praising God for all the things that he's done for me. This chapter begins with the open tomb, and it ends with their hearts being opened to what he wanted them to do. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. On this day of all days, we should be rejoicing. We should be at peace in the midst of our circumstances. We don't need to be sad. We simply need to trust in you, your word, your guidance. Thank you for the way you speak to us. And thank you that we could open your holy word today and you could teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.